Now let's come to the next section concerning the resurrections. The resurrections. The Bible reveals two distinct types of resurrection from the dead. One, restoration to physical life as a fleshly human being. And two, transformation to eternal life as an immortal spirit being. The scriptures record the resurrection of individual persons to physical life at various times by the will of God. In the Old Testament times, a widow's son was restored to life through the prayer of Elijah the prophet. Jesus' raising of Lazarus from the dead is a well-known example from the New Testament times. And we might also add there in Matthew 27, the saints that came back to life after Jesus was resurrected to appear to many in the city of Jerusalem. These were special acts of mercy by God which extended the physical life of the individuals. Those whom God has resurrected in this manner were not given immortality and all again died. Jesus Christ was the first to be resurrected to immortality by the power of God the Father. To become a human being, Jesus had to divest himself of his glory and power as the Lord God of the Old Testament. When he was resurrected, he was restored to full glory, power, and honor as God. Jesus Christ is called the firstborn from among the dead because he is the first of multiple millions who will be resurrected to immortality. When Jesus Christ returns to the earth, all true Christians who have died, and true Christians means that they died in the faith, by the way, will be raised to eternal life as immortal spirit beings. Those Christians who are alive at the return of Jesus Christ will be changed instantaneously from flesh to spirit. This transformation to spirit is the new birth. When the saints of God, both dead and living, are truly born again into the family of God, all saints will be composed of spirit as God is composed of spirit and will be full members of God's divine family. They will rule with Jesus Christ as kings and priests on the earth. This resurrection is described in the Bible as the first resurrection, which we just read of in Revelation 20. Now continuing on. After the 1,000-year rule of Jesus Christ and his saints, there will be a resurrection to physical life of all who have died without having received the opportunity for salvation. During the second physical life, each person will have his or her first and only opportunity for salvation through Jesus Christ. And I just might add, there is no such thing as a second chance. Those who fully accept the salvation of God will enter into the family of God as spirit beings. Those who reject salvation through Jesus Christ will be condemned to eternal death. They will be joined by all the incorrigible wicked who have died throughout history who will be resurrected to physical life. All who have refused to accept salvation and have knowingly and willfully committed the unpardonable sin, which is blasphemy against the Holy Spirit of God the Father, will be resurrected to receive the final judgment of God. Their sentence will be to die in the lake of fire. This death is the second and final death from which there is no resurrection. Now, I'll just reference you to some of the references we have here. 1 Kings 17, 17 to 24 shows the resurrection of the son by Elijah. Then we have here John 11. Now, let's go to John 11, which shows the resurrection of Lazarus. And we will look at those people who were resurrected back to a physical life. But they would all have to die in the faith. Now, Lazarus was raised back to physical life because He had not had an opportunity for salvation because Jesus had not yet died and ascended to heaven to send the Holy Spirit so that he could have that opportunity for salvation. So his death and his resurrection is the key to understanding that all of those who never had an opportunity for salvation will be raised back to physical life to receive an opportunity for salvation. Now, I just might interject here, since this is just an overview. Please write for the audio tapes that we have concerning the seventh day of the Feast of Tabernacles and the last great day, because those 2 days are devoted to detailed study about the people who have never received salvation, that they will receive it just like Lazarus did in this particular case. And of course, the disciples and Mary and Martha, his sisters, were concerned that Lazarus was dead and did not have an opportunity to receive salvation. Now, let's pick up the story here where Martha goes out to meet Jesus, verse 20, John 11. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went to meet him, but Mary was sat still in the house. Then Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever you ask of God, God will give it you. And he said to her, your brother shall rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. So she didn't understand it was going to happen now. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And he that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And of course, Lazarus did believe in him, didn't he? Yes. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. And that actually means shall not see death forever. That's quite different than never dying. Now, let's see where he raised him from the dead. Let's come over here to verse 39. They came to the tomb after all the weeping and wailing, and even Jesus wept, it says. Jesus said, verse 39, John 11, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinks, for he has been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, did I not say that if you would believe, you should see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where it was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me, and I knew that you always hear me, and because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that you have sent me. And when he had said thus, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth. So Lazarus was resurrected. Now, let's look at another case of physical resurrection, or resurrection back to physical life. Let's come to Matthew 27. And I've always wondered what sort of reaction would I have had if one of my dead relatives came back from the dead and knocked on my door. Well, I am sure that speaking of Lazarus, that he was converted, received the Holy Spirit, and died in the faith. He'll be resurrected to eternal life when Christ returns. Now let's come here to Matthew 27, verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the spirit, and behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks cracked open, would be a better translation, rather than rent, because that sounds like you're trying to lease a building or something. And the graves were opened, and many of the bodies of the saints which slept, that is, were dead, arose and came out of the grave graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. So there is resurrection from the dead back to a physical life. That is one type of resurrection. The other type of resurrection is being raised from the dead to be a spirit being. Now, we'll get to that. Let's get to that right now. Let's come to 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter, and then we'll go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Thessalonians, the 4th chapter. First Thessalonians 4, and let's pick it up here in verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 13. But I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Now, when people die in the faith, God looks upon it as a sleep. Because their next memory, their next thought will be the instant they are resurrected, and it will be just like coming out of a sleep, a deep sleep, howbeit. Of them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. And this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Now, let's just interject right here. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that when you die, your immortal soul goes to heaven. That is a false pagan doctrine taught by worldly Christian churches which have rejected the truth of the resurrection in the Bible. Now, if you don't believe that, check out your Bible a little more and see that that is true. Now, back again to 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 14. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, which is his authority, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them, as it should read, which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Same thing he did when he resurrected Lazarus, correct? Yes. With the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Now then, let's go to Revelation 19 to show that we come back to the earth when we meet him in the air, the resurrection. Now, you can write in for our tapes on the first resurrection and the sea of glass. I won't get into all the details with it, but we will meet Christ in the air on the sea of glass. And after the pouring out of the seven last plagues, then all the saints will come back with Christ to the earth, and as we saw earlier, to rule and reign with him. Now let's come to Revelation 19. Let's pick it up here in verse 11. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness does he judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was dipped with a vesture, he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And that goes right back to John, the first chapter, verses 1 through 3. Verse 14, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. That army is the saints of God who then will fight with Christ. Now remember, we saw that since the kingdom of God is not on the earth, his servants do not fight today. But at this time, when the saints return with Christ, they will fight. And they are on white horses, clothed with fine linen, white and clean. And as we saw, Revelation 20 and verse 6, we are on the earth and we'll rule and reign with Christ 1,000 years. Now let's come back to the Old Testament, Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14. And this talks about the return of Christ. Zechariah 14 and verse 4. And his feet, that is, Jesus Christ, shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, and the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall move toward the north and half toward the south, and you shall flee to the valley of the mountains. Now, we're talking about the fulfillment of what we just read there in Revelation 19. For the valley of the mountain shall reach to Azel, yea, you shall flee like you fled from before the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. And the Lord my God shall come, and all the saints with you. So we will reign on the earth, not in heaven. Now let's continue on here. Let's come here to verse 8. And it shall be in that day that living waters shall go out from Jerusalem, half of them toward the former sea, half of them toward the hinder sea. In summer and winter shall it be, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day there shall be one Lord, and his name one. That is the first resurrection. The issue of life and death is very important, and all religions have some sort of explanation as to what happens to the body and what happens to the soul. And so we'll just briefly touch on it here. So if you need to have a more in-depth explanation, write in for a sermon entitled The Spirit of Man or The Spirit in Man. Let's first of all see that the Bible says that souls are not immortal. Let's come to Ezekiel 18. And most of the religions of the world believe in an immortal soul, which either goes to heaven or goes to hell. Goes to heaven if you're good, goes to hell and burn forever if you're bad. Or they believe in reincarnation, that you have a soul that transmigrates from one species to another until you are perfected, and hence then you can eventually end up in nirvana. Now, those teachings are not in the Bible. Those are teachings of other religions, which anyone can teach anything that they desire. However, if you want the truth, then you need to stick with the Word of God. Now, Ezekiel 18 and verse 4. Here's what God says, the Creator of heaven and earth and all human beings. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so is also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sins, it shall die. And we know the New Testament teaches the wages of sin is death, and all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The soul in the Bible really is the chemical life of the body, having nothing to do with immortality, and the soul is mortal. There is a part of the human being which is called the spirit in man. Let's come to Zechariah, the 12th chapter, please. Zechariah 12. Zechariah, the 12th chapter. Verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord for Israel, says the Lord, which stretches forth the heavens and lays the foundation of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him. Every human being has within his brain, should we say, or connected with his brain, what is called the spirit of man, which is the spirit which God gives, which makes you different from all of the animals of the world. This spirit cannot function without a body. Let's go to James, the second chapter, and we will see. James, the second chapter. The body cannot function without the spirit, and the spirit cannot function without the body. It's very much like the cassette recording that you are listening to right now. You can hold it in your hand, you have everything that is there, but you don't know what is in it because you don't have a machine to play it. So you can liken a body and mind to the cassette player and the cassette itself, the cassette tape, likened unto the spirit of man, which has your intelligence, which has your memory, which has everything that you are as a person. Now, James, the second chapter, makes it very clear. Okay. Verse 26. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so it is the spirit that gives life. Now, we know from modern technology today that a person can be technically called what is in modern medical parlance is this. A person can be brain dead, but they can sustain the physical life by keeping the blood moving through oxygenization and the heart continuing to pump. If that happens, the spirit has left the brain. The soul, being the physical body, is still functioning by artificial means because that is the physical chemical part of your being. If they stop the respirator on a brain dead person, they die instantly. So we have it very clear that the spirit of man, which is in him, must be in a physical body in order to function. Now then, this helps us answer the question, what happens to that spirit in man when a person dies? It's not the soul that goes to God, it is the spirit. And remember, just like a cassette tape contains everything on there that you are through your whole life, but it must have a body and it must have a brain in order to function. Now, let's come to Hebrews, the 12th chapter, and let's see what happens to the spirit in man. Now, when Jesus died, we read it. When he died, he said, "Into your hands, Father, I commend my spirit." So when Jesus was resurrected, the spirit that he commended to the Father came back into his physical body, and he was resurrected an immortal spirit being, receiving again the immortal spirit life that he had before he gave it up to become a human being. So when all human beings die, in order for a resurrection to occur, there has to be a record of that individual kept somewhere. And God is the one who does it. And that spirit that goes back to man is probably very similar to what we understand as the physical DNA and RNA of a human being, because they know through the process of physical cloning that they can take the DNA and they can clone an exact replica from that. So this gives you an idea of what God is going to do at the resurrection. Now, Hebrews, the 12th chapter. And let's come here to verse 22. But you are come to Mount Zion, that is Mount Zion in heaven above, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. You can read Revelation 4 and Revelation 5 about the angels and so forth that are around God's throne. Okay. Continuing now, verse 23, Hebrews 12. and to God, the judge of all. Now, we're going to get into the next section when we finish this on the resurrection concerning judgment. And to the spirits of just men made perfect. So, when a person dies, the spirit goes back to God. Then when they are resurrected as a spirit being, they are given a spiritual body. When they are resurrected back to a physical life, they are given a physical body again according to the pattern that is there in the spirit of man. We'll see that in just a minute. So we need to understand that the Bible nowhere teaches the immortality of the soul or a spirit wandering off in the neither land. God controls everything. Now, let's come here to 1 John, the third chapter. 1 John, the third chapter. And let's see what John wrote about what we will be like when we are resurrected at the return of Christ. Now, verse 1, 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called, and it should read, the children of God. Because this comes from the noun technos. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And that is, we will be a spirit being. Now, let's come to Philippians, the third chapter, and let's see this again by the Apostle Paul. So all the apostles knew and understood this. Philippians, the third chapter. Philippians 3, verse 20. Now, the King James read, Philippians 3 and verse 20, for our conversation is in heaven. In the Greek there is politeia, which means our governmental allegiance is in heaven, because we're not part of this world, as Christ was not part of this world. Obviously, our voices are not, we do not carry on conversations from heaven to each other. It's directly to each other, so this is politeia. From whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to even to subdue all things unto himself. So the first resurrection will be to spirit. The spirit in man will then be put into the spirit body, and there we are, as spirit beings, the sons of God. Now let's look a little bit more concerning the physical resurrection of people who never had an opportunity for salvation because they were not called of God. Now let's come to Ezekiel 37. Now most people are under the mistaken impression that those in the Old Testament received salvation just like those in the New Testament who are called of God, baptized and receive the Holy Spirit and endure unto the end, will receive salvation. Such is not true. The covenant that God gave to Israel was a covenant for physical blessings, for obedience to the commandments of God and the letter of the law, and they were never promised eternal salvation. They were promised a physical land, blessings of physical life, and God to fight their battles for them. They were never promised eternal life. Therefore, most of Israel, with the exception of kings and the prophets, did not receive salvation. They all died, are in their graves, and they will have an opportunity for salvation after the millennium when the second resurrection takes place. Now again, write for day 7 and 8 concerning the Feast of Tabernacles and the Last Great Day. Now here we have the Valley of Dry Bones. where Ezekiel was told to prophesy that these bones would live. And they did. Verse 7. Now let's understand as we analyze this. If you have bones, what do you have? You have the remains of human bodies, correct? If you have the remains of human bodies, what does this tell you? They lived once, correct? So then this is going to be a second physical life as we will see. Now some people, especially religionists who believe that you either are saved now and go to heaven because you're saved or go to hell and burn because you're not saved, greatly resent the mercy and grace of God that he is going to resurrect all those that he never called to salvation back to a second physical life so they can have an opportunity for salvation. Now, why would anyone resent that? Why would anyone be mad at God for giving this gracious mercy and loving kindness to give them an opportunity for salvation? Now, verse 7, Ezekiel 37. So I prophesied as I was commanding, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came up upon them. Now, this is not a resurrection to immortality, is it? No. To a second physical existence. And skin covered them from above, and there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. And so I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Now, who are these people? Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost and we are cut off for our parts, that is, leading sinful lives and not called to salvation. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus says the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, meaning they died, and I will cause you to come up out of your graves, meaning they'll be resurrected to a physical life, as we just saw, and bring you into the land of Israel, and you shall know that I am the Lord, which they did not before, even though he was their God, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, that is for conversion, and I shall place you in your own land, then shall you know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and have performed it, says the Lord. Now then, let's come to Matthew, the 12th chapter, because we see that not only is it going to happen to Israel, but it's going to happen to all the Gentile nations. And then we will see the fulfillment of this in Revelation 20. Let's come to Matthew, the 12th chapter. And verse 41. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment. Now we'll get to the next section on judgment in just a minute. With this generation. So this shows Nineveh, being a Gentile nation, shall be raised with the same generation of the Jews during Jesus' time that did not accept salvation, and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Noah, and, or Jonah rather, and behold, a greater than Jonah is here. And the queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation, showing the second resurrection, and shall condemn it, for she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. So all those people will be raised to a second physical life in the second resurrection at the end of the 1,000-year period as we see in the book of Revelation. Now, let's go there and see that. Let's come to Revelation 20 and verse 4. This is talking about the saints who are raised to immortality when Christ returns. Then it talks about the rest of the dead. Okay. Revelation 20 and verse 4. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them which were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark in their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. These are the ones, as it says in 1 Corinthians 15, that when Christ returns, those who are Christ will be raised to immortal life. Now then, what about the rest of the dead? Verse 5, the rest of the dead, who did not receive salvation in this life, live not again until the 1,000 years are finished. Now, the first resurrection is when Christ returns. The second resurrection is at the end of the 1,000 years. Now, let's come to verse 11. Verse 11, Revelation 20. This is called the Great White Throne Judgment. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. Now, we saw in Ezekiel 37 that they already died once. So for whatever sins and the way that they lived their lives at that time, it is clear that they had not committed the unpardonable sin. So therefore, they are given an opportunity for salvation. And they are judged out of the things written in the book. Okay, well, here's an opportunity for salvation. Let's read it again here, see? I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, showing an opportunity for salvation. Those who are Christians today have their names already written in the book of life. So these are people who have not had the opportunity for salvation, so their names are not written in the book of life for salvation. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works, meaning that they have a new life in which to live, to have faith, to have works, to be given the opportunity for salvation. Now again, I encourage you to write for those two tapes that I mentioned, because it will talk much more about some of the other details, such as how long they live and so forth. Now, there is one more part to the rest of the dead. The rest of the dead are those who have committed the unpardonable sin. And we'll cover that in detail on those other two tapes. But suffice to show here, let's come to verse 14 of Revelation 20. So there are, as we could say, two parts to the second resurrection. The first part is to those who were not given salvation, but had not committed the unpardonable sin. They are raised to a physical life to receive an opportunity for salvation. The second part of the rest of the dead, or the second resurrection, is those who have committed the unpardonable sin, who will be cast into the lake of fire. We read that in verse 14. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now let's come over here to Revelation 21 and verse 8, and this gives us a little more breakdown in the category of the incorrigible wicked. Verse 8, Revelation 21. The fearful, because they didn't trust God. The unbelieving, because they didn't believe God. The abominable, and murderers,
and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." That is the judgment that God has upon the incorrigible wicked, and from this death there is no resurrection, nor torture, nor suffering forever. Let's come back here to Malachi, the book of Malachi, just the last chapter in the Old Testament before the book of Matthew. Malachi, the fourth chapter, the very last chapter before the beginning of the New Testament. We find beginning in verse 1. "For behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch," meaning no life. "But unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go forth and grow up as calves in the stall. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in that day that I shall do this, says the Lord of hosts." So the incorrigible wicked will not summon it forever. That is only reserved to Satan and his demons, not human beings. Again, I encourage you to go through and look up all the scriptural references that we have concerning the resurrections. Now you see how these flow together. From the resurrections, we come to the next section, which is called eternal judgment. Now, you will see how they tie together, and in fact, some of it will be repeated here.